The Fall, Day 2. Never be afraid to expose a weakness in yourself. Exposing a weakness is the beginning of strength. Robert Anthony. I didn't sleep well last night. I didn't sleep long at all, actually. The pain just kept waking me up, and the pain pills didn't seem to faze me a bit. Any movement was horrendous, and I couldn't move about due to the shockers or the numbness that would come with it. Didn't seem like there was a single part of my body that didn't scream at me, and it was so odd, especially coming from someone who had trained so much, understood pain, knew what to do to overcome pain. Now I could hardly help myself. Right now, all I was doing was going through the motions. I seemed to be on autopilot, exposing myself to say the least. I felt weak. I didn't feel strong at all. Often in my life, when I was faced with difficulties, or challenges, or heartache, I'd always think about Jesus carrying his cross down that long path in so much pain, beaten up, and the cruelty he endured as well. And I'd think, Mary, if he can do that, you can certainly carry the crosses you're asked to carry in life. You can certainly get through anything. So pick up this cross and keep moving one step at a time. Just like any race you've ever done, you reach a point where your body starts screaming at you, but you have to listen to your head. You have to let your mind tell you to motivate you forward. Don't let it disable you. You can get to the finish line on this like you have anything else, one step at a time. Finally, I just got out of bed. It felt better to be upright, so I could at least get my hands over my head and hold on to my head. I literally had to walk holding on to my head, or it would feel like it was going to roll off. And the pressure seemed to continue to get worse moment by moment. It felt like my brain was swelling. It felt like my whole body was swelling. It was pretty early Sunday morning now, so I attempted to change my clothes, but that was near impossible. I tried to clean the sutures on my head, and then my youngest had to help me. Thank God I had him. Thank God I had these darling, loving boys. Such motivation they are. Such blessings. Such gifts. How lucky am I? My friend's husband came over, and my youngest son left with him to return the moving truck. At about 11 a.m., my cell phone rang, and it was a doctor calling from the hospital. He asked how I was, but it didn't register with me who he was. I still thought he was a doctor from the hospital that had treated me the night before. Cognitively, yes, things were slowing down for me. And then I said, if you're calling about my earrings I left there, just throw them away. I have no intentions of coming back down there. I'm not sure why I said that. I must have been looking for my earrings that morning. Not that I'd even been able to put them on with my coordination, and my vision was completely off. He reminded me which hospital he was calling from again, and again said, how are you doing? I said, oh, thinking that's odd. And well, I feel awful, but I'm not sure how I'm supposed to feel after having a head-on with a semi-truck. Again, I'm not sure why I said that, but I guess I'm not really sure. Having a head-on collision with the house? He said, I'm actually calling because I reviewed your x-rays that you had taken last night at the hospital, and I need to know where you are. Apparently, the sister hospital he was calling from is able to review things online through their computer network, so that was a really good thing. I explained where I was, that I was home now, and the sister hospital he was calling from now would be about an hour away from me. He said, okay, so where's the nearest trauma center or large hospital to you? And are you alone? I said, yes, I am alone for a while yet. And I gave him the name of the closest hospital that the boys and I use if we need to. He said, do you happen to have the phone number to that ER? I said, yes, I do. And he said, I'll call them now with the orders of what they need to do, and I'll also fax the orders. Then I asked him for his phone number, which he gave me. I'm not sure how I had the wherewithal to do that, or the insight to do that. He said, you need to get to the hospital as quickly as you can, and whatever you do, do not move. Don't turn your head. I think I see a serious fracture in your neck. I called my friend and son, and they were on their way back to the apartment. I'm not sure why the doctor never thought to just call me an ambulance. And I don't think I was in any position cognitively to completely understand the concern or make the decision, albeit as much as I was functioning. There was a part of my brain that would think fracture, spinal cord injury, the way I'm behaving, the way my body's acting. And then there was this other part of my brain that felt detached in disbelief. It was so odd. We put me in the car and went directly to the hospital. Of course, the hospital ER was packed. Weekends are always even worse. Believe it or not, even after explaining the situation and the urgency of it per the doctor, and that he had confirmed that my neck was highly suspicious of being broke, we still had to wait. It was unreal, and we waited just like everyone else. We waited and we waited. Not that I'm anybody special, because I'm not. I'm just Mary. And not that I should take precedent over anybody else's health. But again, part of my brain was thinking fracture, spinal cord injury. Don't we need to hurry here? And so we waited. And I could tell moment by moment I was slowly fading. My gait, my balance, my functions were slowly starting to fail me. It was hard to breathe. And of course, the more pain I was in, the more my patience just shortened with everybody, and I didn't like that at all. There's definitely a close correlation between pain and patience, or should I say impatience. So I started to raise a bit of a fuss, which I'm not very good at all. And finally a nurse came out and put a collar on me, but the collar was killing me. It was making things worse. Now it really felt like my head was literally cut in half. We waited some more, and then they came out and took me back to the room. In the ER room, I went through the whole slew of questionings with the nurse, just like the night before with all the medical personnel, and then again when the resident doctor finally came in. Again, to me, it didn't seem to be any sense of urgency. And my God, laying me down, the pain was intolerable. We waited some more. Another hour had gone by. I laid there and listened to the docs and nurses hanging around outside my room, chatting about their personal lives, what they did for St. Patty's Day, what they ate, what they made. And yeah, I understand they see so much. They need a diversion. They've got to get tired of all the pain and the suffering that goes on in emergency rooms and the monotony. But I really wasn't finding it enjoyable to listen to. Part of me knew I was in crisis and I needed help quickly, and I just didn't get it. Then I heard one doctor outside my room say, "Who's in that room?" And I heard my resident doctor say, apparently she fell in Texas and someone told her she needed to be rechecked and maybe get more films. Unreal. Where did she come up with Texas? The next doctor said to her, what was she doing in Texas? And then she flew back here? Is she from Texas? Didn't they take enough films in Texas? And then I was furious. I didn't feel like they were listening. About that time, the ER nurse came in and asked what the holdup was. She said they can't find your orders. I said I have the phone number right here that you're looking for. You're looking for orders from a hospital in Oregon, not Texas. I said the doctor both called and faxed the orders. I said, let me give you the phone number and his name. I have it right here. She said, no, oh, that's okay. We can find it now. What the heck? I'm trying to make this easy for everyone. After a bit, the resident doctor came back in and she says to me, so this happened in Texas? Do you know what hospital you went to? Okay, the nurse and the doctor definitely are not talking to one another. I can't take this. I explained to her again. And then I pulled out the number. It's this hospital in Oregon and this doctor. About that time, the nurse came back in and said, oh, we found the orders. It's from this hospital in Oregon, doctor. Oh, finally. Then we wait some more, and they finally come in and roll me over to have a CT scan. I come back to my room, and another hour goes by. I've now been there for 4 hours, and I'm not sure how much longer I can hang in there. Laying down, the pain is too much, and I can't breathe. I was afraid I was going to die, and almost afraid I wouldn't at this point. I know, such a terrible thought. I don't know if you've ever felt like that at moments in your life. And I can't go down that road. I can't think like that. We're going to figure this out. Now to top it off, one of the machines is now beeping and I can't tolerate the noise. Why is it when we have a headache, when something hurts real bad, everything else exaggerates in our life? Sounds like a train is running through my room. It needed to be reset and no one would respond to my call button. I guess I could sit and yell because people are right outside my door. But I don't have the energy to do that. I'd already been laying there for 20 minutes with the staff hanging outside my room. They've got to hear it. I guess they get immune to the sounds. Maybe they get immune to everything. Finally, I managed to rip the cord out of the wall. And about the same time, my nurse and friend walked in. But now it was a different nurse, so there must have been a shift change. Dear God, I don't want to go through all this explaining again. I said to my friend, will you please get my clothes? I'm going to die if I stay here. I need to get out of here. I had reached a point, if there was any way to run away from my body, from this pain, I wanted to. So badly. I felt like I had to keep moving or I would go out. I felt like I had to stand upright or I couldn't breathe. I felt like I had to stand upright and hold my head on my shoulders. The nurse ran out and said, someone needs to tell the lady with the neck injury what's going on. She said she's leaving now. My resident doctor came in, who was still just standing outside my room, and finally said, okay. Your CTs are back, and you seem to have some arthritis between C3 and 4 in your neck, and that's what's causing all your pain. Arthritis? Immediately, my intuition said, once again, there has been another error reading these films. What's going on? What is wrong with these doctors? What is wrong with these X-ray and scan machines? This can't be happening. I said, look at me, my head is stuck. The vertebrae are stuck. It's off its axis. I know it. She said, no, it's just stiff and traumatized. Arthritis will do that to you. Oh, with all the fight I had in me, I tried to explain, no, that can't be right. She said, I'll give you some pain meds, and you need to exercise your neck so it doesn't stiffen. I thought, I can't believe you. Exercise my neck? Oh, dear God. There's been a mistake. We left the hospital and I was not a happy camper. I could hardly walk by now. I walked like a dog. I couldn't keep my body straight. And everything was weak. Everything felt like it was going to give out from the neck down. I didn't understand. And now my poor son was even more scared And all I could think of is, I've got to make it till Monday. My family doctor has been out of town, and she will be back in her office, and she will believe me. It won't do me any good to call the doctor that's on call for her, because they don't know me. And besides, they're going to tell me to do the exact same thing, go to the ER, which I've now done twice. I don't know what else to do. Everyone is missing something. And worse, I feel like I'm on ignore. After we left the hospital, we decided to drive out to the old house to load up what we could. Probably not a wise decision, but by now I knew I would need to take a few days off work to sort myself out. I had no business even trying to do this much, but it had to be done. That evening, I actually drove my car all alone, the 35-minute drive on a country road, without any bracing, back to the apartment, with the car loaded completely. I was supposed to be okay, remember? The films were okay, right? Or was I? I knew I wasn't okay. But what is going on? We had some dinner. I called my boss to let him know what had happened and that I would need to take at least Monday off. I also needed to give him instructions regarding my employees. And then I called my parents, who also live in the same town and actually worked in the district, who have lots of friends. And since everybody pretty much knew me with the position I held, I was afraid there would also be maybe they might hear via the grapevine, where it always traveled fast in that town. I certainly didn't want them to be in a panic. They weren't too excited about the boys and I moving to begin with, and this now would make them even sadder. As parents, they're going to worry anyway. You can't do anything about that. I know how that is. But I wanted them to hear my voice and know that I was going to be okay. Even though I wasn't sure I was really okay, by now I was trying to convince myself with all my heart and soul that I would be. I had to be. And thank God I had what felt like his loving arms still around me. It was keeping me going. It was such powerful motivation to have had that brief encounter that would keep moving me forward. Again, we treated my sutures and propped me up in bed. My friends placed my cell phone where I could reach it with very little movement and with my right hand, only with very little pain. The landline phone was plugged into a jack at the apartment, but the service wouldn't be connected for another few days. Once again, I started to drift off a bit, and my thoughts were with my youngest son, Oliver Moore. He was supposed to go to school Monday, even though I told him he didn't need to. He was unrested and so traumatized. It had been a tough weekend for the little guy, and my heart just ached for him. I wanted to sob. I wanted to cry, and I couldn't. I don't know if you've ever felt that way before. Something has hurt so bad you couldn't cry, or you were too afraid to cry. I was afraid to cry because I was afraid to move, and I needed to be strong right now. Even though I was totally aware of all my weaknesses, I needed to be strong. I eventually just conked out again.